Okay, so the Gemara here seems to be some sort of continuation of the previous Gemara, at least because it involves the same characters. But is the connection deeper than that? It's part of what we have to try to figure out. So just quickly, by way of introduction, so hope we got a chance to see that little piece. Again, there's a lot more to it than that Gemara and Bava Metzia. That's the larger sugya of the topic of Bar Metzra. The topic of Bar Metzra is a question of when you have somebody who has a property and along the Metzar, along the border, a neighbor selling a property, does the person who is next door have more of a right to it than somebody else, than an outsider? Why would it be that the person would have more of a right? So it has more value. It has more value to the person who is next door than to the other person, because when you can expand into two properties, that is in intangible value for relative to the other people. So the Gemara has this halacha of Bar Metzra. Now, it does not mean, there are a lot of details, but it does not mean that the person who is selling the property has to lose out money in order to satisfy the needs of the person who is next door. But we'll call it right now, on the simplest level, all things being equal, so the person who is next door should have rights to the, field. At what point, again, a lot of details. What is the makor for such a halacha? And that is going to be significant in terms of our sugya. So the Gemara that you saw in Bava Metzia quotes a pasuk. The pasuk is, V'asisa hayosher v'hatov v'inei Hashem. You have to do what is good and what is straight in the eyes of Hashem. This is a pasuk which comes up in numerous places in Kosher Mishpat, and it is an imperative that we have, which again is beyond what is required, what we would call me'ikar hadin. There is doing what you have to do, and then there's doing what you should do. There's doing what is appropriate. V'asisa hayosher v'hatov, doing what is fit and what is right, tells us that, again, sometimes we will go above and beyond. That does not necessarily mean that it's not enforceable in some way. It could be it is, but the backdrop to it is V'asisa hayosher v'hatov. So with that, we come to our Gemara. Okay? And our Gemara doesn't discuss too many details of Bar Metzra. It gets into a few, but there's an assumption that the din is true.
Is this more of a din that we have like a tradition to learn halacha from the pasuk, or is it more like they make like a derabanan based on like the logic of this pasuk?
It's probably more the latter. Meaning, this is a deraisa concept of Asisa Asher Atov. The specific applications, the Rabbanon figured out where to apply them. But again, in Chush and Mishpat in particular, when you're dealing with interpersonal relationships, a lot of it, or oftentimes, this concept will come up. Good? Says the Gemara. Runya, good old Runya. Runya, Zavan Ara Ametzra de Ravina. He bought a property on the border with Ravina. Savai Ravina, the Sluke Mishimdina de Bar Metzra. Ravina wanted to remove him from that property because of the halacha of Bar Metzra. Meaning, Ravina said, I have first rights. I have first rights. And apparently, Ravina thought, and even if you already purchased it, right? This isn't just in the, who should the buyer, who should the seller, sell it to, but even if Runya bought it, because that's what it sounds like, even if Runya bought it, I should have rights. And again, there's no reason to think that because these two scores, you have to suppose that we had something against Runya. Just all their run-ins, the Gemara brought together. So Ravina wanted this land. Again, nobody would have to be out. Runya would get all of his money back. The seller would get the same amount of money. Not looking to take anybody's money, but he wanted this particular property. So Amar li Rav Safra v'reid Rav Yeva li Ravina. So Rav Safra, the son of Rav Yeva, said to Ravina, Amri inchi arba'a litzola arba'a litzlala. Okay. People said something about four and the word that has itzavi, a lamed, and an aleph in it. Okay. What exactly does this mean? That's going to be the subject of the Machlokas right now. But again, it's going to be important because in these words, he is issuing his halachic guidance, right? Tucked away in whatever this mashal, probably is the easiest way to say it, is the guidance as to what Ravina should or should not do. And again, based on whatever that is, I'll have to figure out. I'll figure out why did he say it in this way, and was he issuing a psak? Was he giving advice? What rights did he have? That is what we have to explore. So says Rashi. Arba'a litzola v'arba'a litzlola. Ani shamati. I heard. So again, this does not tell you Rashi saying his poem shot, right? Something that Rashi learned from when it was Rebbein, from somebody else. That sola ritza'an ani. Utzlala ratza'an ashir. So a tzala with one lamed refers to a person who is, I don't know, some sort of leather worker. I don't know if he had laces. I don't know exactly what he was making, but he worked with leather, right? A poor one was called a tzala, and a wealthy one was called a tzlala. The kach amar lo. Okay, so now what's his response, right? What do the words now mean? Four to the poorer leather guy, and four to the rich leather guy. Shkoyev. Right, so what's he telling him? The kach amar lo. Arba kikaros tzridin liritzon anil machalos beisil yom. Kimoshe tzridin laoshir. Both the arba is referring to the amount of food that you need for a day. The poor guy and the rich guy, they need the same amount of food. And there's certain basic sustenance. Everybody needs the same thing to survive. Everybody needs the same thing. But this guy is poor. So they have the same needs, but they don't have the same ability to acquire, in terms of having a source of livelihood. So they each need to get to the same place, be able to put food on the table, but the source of income is lacking for the poor guy. So now he turns to Ravina and says, Alongus. Says Alongus. You're coming and saying, I want Runya out, because I have rights to the field, because I'm the neighbor, so I can say I am the bar mitzvah. What's the makor for the din of bar mitzvah? Yasisa hayashavatov. I am telling you, says Rav Safra. Katani yomer lecha asay yashar v'tov la'anizeh ve'altisalkeinu. You should do what's right for this guy. Yes, the overall halacha of bar mitzvah is rooted in asitza yosher v'atov. But in this particular circumstance, where you're in a much better place than he is, the yosher v'tov thing to do is leave him be. Is leave him be and don't do anything. Don't do anything. Don't remove him. Don't remove him from the land. That is, I guess, what we'll call shot number one. Right, you both want the field, but your right to the field and his right to the field are really both rooted in Vasisa Yashavato. And therefore, it is incumbent upon you, especially now that he's there already, again, I don't know if he would have said the same thing if he hadn't purchased it already. Because again, they're both in the realm of Asisa Yashar Atov. If he would have still said the same thing, or he still might have said the same thing. He might have said, okay, you have an opportunity to do what's best, so yashir atov. So you should do what is right. What is right is leave the poor guy alone. That's pshat number one. I don't want to call it a bosom pshat. I don't know who to call it. First pshat quoted by Rashi. Says Rashi, B.H. the Gamgim, and you can argue with this. Deha'or karoit tzala v'lo haratzon. Kidarinan ba'alma my darbish arsa tzala. Okay. His taina is a technical one. And Rashi's taina is not that this can't be pshat, but that the word... I'm frying here. I left it on, but low. He's not saying that it can't be wrong, that there's a taina on the svara behind it, but he doesn't think the words make sense. Because this word, which is being used as mashal, it's Sadi Lamed Aleph word, in the first pshat is referring to the gavra. He's saying it's not supposed to be referring to the leather guy, it's supposed to be referring to the leather, to the cheftza. Right? Turn this into a brisker hakira. Right? It's the gavra versus the cheftza. Okay, so how's he going to learn? How's Rashi going to learn pshat? I say Runya Ratzon Hayah. So Runya was this was another guy. And the Bach adds in here, Vilokeya Oros, he would purchase leather. Vinosin Oros La Abdonin. Lasos Mayan Minolin, the Mokon Bashuk. And he was, I guess, the shoe salesman. He was the salesman. He would purchase leather wholesale, then he would give it to people who would process it, and the final product, he would bring it to market, and he would sell it. That was Runya's job. The Kakamar Lo Rav Safon Lo Ravina. And this is what Rav Safon was saying to Ravina. Ha'ani zeh scharo muad. That he said, like, leave the guy alone. He doesn't make so much money. Because he has to pay. He has to pay the wholesaler. Then he has to pay the person who is producing it. And then he has to sell it to try to make back the money. But he's out. He already had to pay two people in order to produce one shoe. The Amri Inchias, people would say, Arba Zuzi the Tzorach Mekahor, Va'arba Zuzi the Star of Gunin, Va'ayin Tzwala, the Fiva Pasei Yashar Atobu Tilo Sadezu, the Parnassas Beso. So again, so Runya is the shoe guy, and he would give the leather to get prepared, then he would sell them. But he's not making so much profit, because he's out four to one guy, he's out another four Zuzim to the other guy. I don't know exactly how much the shoes sold for, but the shoes sold for 9 or 10. He's only making, you know, 1 or 2 zuzim after investing 8. Not such a big profit. Leave him be. Again, there isn't so much of a difference in terms of the svara behind it. It's more at this point a difference in pshat. Right? Either way, what he seems to be telling him is you're trying to invoke a halacha which is based on Yasiso Yashar Atov. In this particular circumstance, it is not Yashar Atov for you to get it instead of Runya. Right? That seems to be the common denominator between Rashi's pshat and the opening pshat in Rashi. Okay. Continues Rashi. Rashi, believe me, Rek. Dalit, Tzala, Dad, Gikaris, Tzarech, Va'abdon, Anni, Medalit, Tzala, Tzavokat, Dalit, Tzarech, Abdon, Asher. Okay, everybody needs the same amount of food.
Umashalu. It's a mashal keneged runya shayos of the achat besos sados shoravina. Ki the amar leel de ravina akfe me abar ruchosav. The asher of kanalo sada it's a mitza ravina. Umasiks de ravina ben sadoso. Amar le rav safra le ravina sheyase ayoshe vatov laniach runya le oz. The Hania Lerunya Osa Sadeh. The Akshav Yoshnaim, Jacob Sarah Shmirish Nesodos, Sarah Gamki and Echad. We come to Marin Tiaz Echad Meruba gets Yoshnaim Yunsa Runya Mistakir. So, according to the way this shot is saying, is that Runya's field was Chotzeitz. Right? It was divided between ravinas. So let's try to understand this. So we know from beforehand what was the picture? The picture that we knew from before was this. Right, Runya was here, and Ravina was all around. Ravina was all around Runya. Now already you see the advantage to this pshat, without getting into the details of it yet, is it's a continuation of the Gemara. Right, the other two pshatim, the only connection between our sugya and the previous sugya was talking about Runya and Ravina. Okay, not the deepest of the of connections. So again, what does Rashi say? What does Rashi say over here in the pshat? So we know here lo sada achas b'sof sada shavunik ravina kamei al ravina akfei rabbi goes up. Achshav kana lo sada sada eitza meitza ravina umapsik sada tzei ravina ben sadoso. So where is this field? Where is the field that Runya purchased? Over here? Is this where Runya is? Seems to be what he's saying. So what's the svara now? What's the svara now? So we know that there are fences with ora, right? There are fences over here, right? If that's the model that we're talking about, right? There are fences over here, and Runya is here, and Ravina is here. So we understand why Ravina certainly wants this field over here. So why should Ravina let Runya have this field? What does he say? What's the reason? V'achshav kana lo eitzel meitza Ravina umafsik stei Ravina bein sadosov. So now Ravina is a hefsik between the two stados of Runya. V'amner tzav Ravina shiase esher atel laniach l'Runya. Let Runya keep Osa. What was the Yerza? Sadeh. The Akshav Yeloshnayim. Shekemoshet Tzarech Shmir Lishnei Tzadus Tzarech Gamkin Le'echon. Mikama Dorah Tiyas Echam Rubik Yetzias Shnayim Benim Tzarech Runya Mistaker. So what's the Svara? What's he saying different than what we saw? How is he justifying? How is Rasafra justifying that Ravina should leave Runya alone? Sounds like all he's saying, I think, unless you guys have a different shot, is when the fields are close enough, it's much easier, right? If Runya had a second field that was over here,
So the amount of time that it would take to do guarding or whatever else between the two to get back in, but it's only one field apart. It's only one field apart. So does Runya have a bar mitzvah taina to get this field?
Probably not.
Probably not. So again, it's not so basically, right, it seems similar to the other pshatim that we've said until now. Right? That really, who has the bar mitzvah, right? Ravina. That's based on Asisa Yashar V'Hatov. But leave Runya alone. So what's the difference between this and the other pshatim? Right? They don't all three seem to basically be saying the same thing, which is that Ravina, you're right. You are entitled to it. But since it's because of Asisa Yashar V'Hatov, and Runya doesn't have it so easy in life, leave the guy alone. Leave the guy alone. The only difference seems to be how you understand the mashal. It doesn't seem to be a machlokas in mundus or anything else between the three different answers that Rashi gave. No? Is there anything more? The only one that, again, maybe is the advantage of the third. The third one is trying to highlight that there is a financial benefit, meaning maybe not as big a financial benefit as Ravina has, but Ravina has a financial benefit to being here versus being in Yehupitzville. But either way, they seem to all be saying the same thing. It's just a question of how you figure out the pshat on the Gemara, I think. No, it doesn't sound like it's like a soda's dick anything going on here. I think. So again, three different pshatim based on how we understand the words. If you look at the Yad Ramah, again, he's also struggling trying to figure out what the pshat is over here. He says, "Which is out in our mitzvah? The Ravina Saber and the Sugya Shadid our mitzvah. The Rav Tzavi, the Ravina Minichi, the Rav Tzol, the Rav Litzol, Klomar." He's using the same numbers, but he takes the mushroom in a very different direction. So he learns that they all seem to be learning again the same, that it's talking about something to do with leather. But he's the one who's being ma'abed. He's the one who is, what do you call it? Canning, I think. He's canning the leather. He says, the person who's poor in the leather tanner, when he dies, he needs the same dalet amos. That's all he needs. He's not taking anything with him. Right? Yilo b'moso yikach hakol. In the end, we're all the same. V'afal oros, I think that's Slala. Even the one who's called that Slala, who's in Usher, ain't lomik on a chazlach ha-misal ha-ba ha-mos ha-fur. He also only has his grave left. Okay, so what's he saying? V'derech mashallah marlo. Rina must have been a real lamdan to figure out what Rasaf was trying to tell him. Right? I don't know that he had, you know, H doesn't reshown him to help him understand what the message was. But he says, you're wealthy. You are wealthy. Fine. Give him Mr. Shmooze. Gave him a Musa Shmooze. Right? What do you think you are? You don't need the money. Oh. The lav dina amarle. Elamidas chasidus amarle. The man balifni mishuras hadin. Yarmah here is making an important point. Again, I think we hinted to it until now, but he says it explicitly. And it's interesting from the perspective of Rav Safra. He's being asked what we thought was a shaila, and he's giving advice instead. He's saying you are entitled to it. You are entitled to it. You're the bar mitzvah. But it's not nice. It's not nice. It's not what you should do. You should go beyond the letter of the law. V'hu adin. And he thinks that this becomes a halacha. If there are two people vying for the property, one is wealthy and one is poor, and the wealthy one is the bar mitzvah. We should tell them and he should let him go. But push comes to shove, if the usher does not want to insist on his bar mitzvah rights, he can. Because this is not the halacha. It's not the halacha. It is a meta halachic principle. It is important, but it's not halacha. Not halacha. Oh. Let's see. Let's see Tosos. It says Tosfos like this. Arba Litzala, the Perush HaKuntris, Makshir Rabbi Yutav, Ha'ein Meracham in the Din, cannot have mercy and judgment. What's his kasha? Kasha seems to be that there are different avenues as to knowing what to do. But if you're going to a din Torah, the job of the dayan is not to have rachmanas. The job of the dayan is to paskin what the halacha is. So if they're coming to Rav Safra for halachic advice, to give him halachic advice. He's coming in for a psak, like the eve of a psak. And ein merachem in bedin. The terms of the psak cannot be influenced by the fact that I feel bad for the guy. The same way lo saguru in Pneish, you're not allowed to be scared the person is too tough. You can't have too much rachmanos. That's not what your job is at the time. Ve'od. The Ka'amar Savar Rina Sluke, that Ravina, it says that Ravina thought to remove your mashma, Sheta'a Ravina. It's a very interesting diak Tosos. What's Tosos' diak? When the Gemara says, Savar Ravina, Ravina thought to, usually that lashon implies that he thought to and he was wrong. And he was wrong. So it sounds like, yeah, whatever he did was a real mistake. A real mistake. What's going on here? What's the story doing here? Ravina worked in the field of Ravina. And the story is over here, should go over there. Right? If the only theme is when you mention Runya and Ravina, you gotta throw in all of their stories.
So then be consistent.
Just seems to be, there's something strange going on in the Gemara here. Something strange going on in the Gemara. Okay? Kasha number one is, Rav Safra seems to be mistaken. You're not allowed to take the fact that the guy is poor into account when you're giving sock. Kasha number two is, what was Ravina's mistake? Because it sounds like this was Ravina thought to do this and not. What's the story doing here? What's it doing here? The tzala who wore it, right again, that the tzala refers to the chef, it's not the god, but then we might argue, it's the tzala. But oh, man, I've time. The Zavan Ara Ametzra de Ravina. When it says that he bought the land on the Meitzer Ravino, Haynu Ametzar Osam Sados de Akfe Ravina Me Arba Rucho. The Haya Ravina Metzer Medimo Rucho, Vibrunim Meruach Achas. Whoa. Tosos just blew the whole thing up, right? Tosos says, it's trying to tell us this is a continuation of the story like this, but not this picture over here. I think the picture that Tosos is suggesting is like this. Okay, so Ravina is here. Oops. And Runya is here. We've been assuming until now that Runya was the entire square. What Tosfos seems to say is that that's not the case. The property, there were more than one property within the box. So Runya was here, and right, the property that they want to buy is over here. Oh, now we have a very interesting halachic shaila. Runya and Ravina are now both halachic bare metzra, bar metzras, right? They both have contiguous connections to this field. But Ravina said, I have three sides. I'm a triple bar mitzvah. You're a single bar mitzvah. And therefore, I have the right. That's a fascinating question. That's a real halakhic question. And that was the question that he was presenting. So Ravina, Savar Ravina, thought, I have rights. I can be Runya bought this field. I can be Mesalikin, and I can move myself in because I'm a bar mitzvah from Thrid Stadim. Inside Tosfos. I do remember that the Zogan Ara Metzer, the Ravina Haina Metzer, Osam Sados, Dakar Ravina Navarugos. The higher Ravina Metzer, and give a Rugos. Ravina was the neighbor from three sides. The Runya Neirukatas. The Gemara is clear. What happens in the probably a more normal situation in which there are multiple Bari Mitzra, right? Let's say this field was up for sale, this whole field, and four different people own these fields. So they're each a Bar Mitzra on one side. So who has the rights? The answer is, as long as one of them buys it, he's the one. And there's no way for the other ones to do it. They're all the same playing field. So is it obvious that Ravina and Runya are on the same playing field also? Says Tosos. Even see that over there. We call Mokam Saba Ravina. Ravina thought the spook that he can remove him. We shum shahaya mess and we gimbled sudden. Virunya Rakbi Rachas. I have triple rights. The case in Baba Metzia, which says that the neighbors each have equal rights, is when we each have one claim to it. I have three claims to it. What's the svara? Why should that... What's Ravina thinking? So, look, Ora, what Ravina is thinking is, what's the idea behind the din of Bar Mitzvah? Is that the fact that I will be able to enlarge my property, right, increases its value and decreases my costs significantly. Right? That's so. And to you, there isn't any difference. So what about here? Runya can also say that it is, you know, to his benefit to have the two sados next to each other. So what's Ravina's Havamina? So Lechora, what Ravina is saying is that if it's about the, what we'll call it the, I don't know if it's the right word, but we'll call it the intangible benefit of the fact that I have the contiguous properties. Like, imagine for a moment you have you know what it is? Okay. Well, you have two streets, right? And you have eight houses that are back to back. Isn't that what you all thought this was? Okay. So you have one person owns the house, right? Reuven owns the house over here. Shimon, Levi owns the house over here. And Shimon owns those five houses over there. Okay? And Binyamin's over here. Okay. Now, Levi's house goes on the market. Levi's house goes on the market. There is a benefit to Reuven in being able to expand, you know, from his one property to his two properties. There is a multiplied by that benefit to Shimon to be able to expand from his five to the sixth, right? Because it's that much more, again, in terms of the value, in terms of things that you can do with it. No?
Is it less? Because Reuven's expanded by 100%, Shimon's expanded by 15%.
It probably makes more sense if you're talking about field as opposed to houses, because then you're not looking at percent, right? Because then if you have your machinery and you have your things like that, then the more you can consolidate, the greater value you're going to have. But you're right, in terms of percentages, the percentage value.
Ratio-wise, Reuven is definitely getting more, like...
Right, but now, I think the svara is that the amount of increase, right, as opposed to percentage, would be greater. That seems to be that. Now, the fact that Shimon needs to do it is obscene, but that's not the discussion right now. And maybe that's actually part of the response of not according to Ben Tam, but according to others, that might be part of the response to Ravina. I think that's the svara of Ravina. Ravina's coming and saying, the svara of Bar Mitzvah is that there is a greater value. I have a value from all three of my fields, so it's not, maybe it's a better way of saying it. It's almost that I have three claims and you have one claim. Because each property that I have over here, which is bordering it, is an increase in my ability to spread out. You have... But it's only from one perspective. That was Ravina's Hava Amina. And therefore, Savar Ravina Lisluke. And yet that's different than when it's all different owners, then there is no different benefit to any of us. And that's where we say, my Zavan Zavan. So, Amale Rav Safra, so continuing to us. So, what does Rav Safra say? Amri Inchi, people say, Arba Litzal Perish, the Or God, the Tzar of Niton Abdel Dal Zuzay. Says the. Again, I can't think of a good mashal, but there must be. It's eluding me right now. There is a certain cost that is going to cost the tannery, whether it's, you know, to turn the machine on, right? There is no difference in terms of any materials being used. Once you have the machines going and the labor going, it doesn't matter if you have a little bit or it doesn't matter if you have a lot. So it's the same four zuzim that you're spending if it's a small piece of leather or a large piece of leather. Right? Meaning there are different types of costs. If you need to write, a Sefer Torah and you need to do, you know, one Sefer versus five, it's obviously a lot more work. But there are other things where the main avoda is getting the machines up and going and doing whatever it is. What happens when how much goes through it? Costs me the same thing. Once our machines are on, I don't care how much you do. Right? That's the part of the bulk of pricing or something, right? It gets a little bit cheaper with the bulk, but it's nothing compared to the initial price, right? The initial price is the first item. Is that because once you have the labor going, okay, it might get a little cheaper, but you can't compare them. And that's what Ravina's response is. Ravina's response is that yes, there might be a little bit of a benefit, but people understand that it's not that big a benefit. It's a little bit more of a benefit to Ravina than the other. You're not crazy. But that's not Asisa Yashabat Tov. That does not give you a claim above his claim, because the difference is too insignificant. What's the svara? Is that I have my plow going, I have to stop my plow and then move it somewhere else. That's the tiracha. But whether you're going, the plow is going through two or four, either way, it's the same hana. The plow, once the plow is going, I don't want it to stop. You both have that. And therefore, it's a beautiful pshat. Again, because what has he done? He's taken it out of the realm, and now it's not about feelings anymore. Right? It's not about the rich and the poor, and the chassidus versus it. It's a pure halachic discussion of the parameters of bar mitzvah. And what Ravina thinks in terms of the adjustment that he has a svara, but that svara is rejected by the by Rav Safra. Tosos gives one more shot. By Rav Avram Pirish, the half hour of the Zavan Runya, the piece of land that when you bought a metzor, the Ravina, hang on metzor, those and so the Shay Runya, Aris Bohen. Kid the Amrina Runya Shasla, the Ravina Haba. The Hachi Kamal, the Safra, the Ravina. So how is he viewing it? I think like this picture. But there's a big difference. Well, no, not exactly this picture, sorry. Like this picture, yeah. This is the land that is for sale. This is the land that's for sale over here. Ravina is the bar mitzvah. However, Ravina is the owner of this land. Runya works for him on the land. And as such, and again, an artist is a sharecropper. More than just a worker. He has a certain investment because as successful as this land is, that's going to determine his salary. Right? He gets paid based on what the land produces. Oh. So now what? So again, now... Look, Ora, he's going in the same direction. He wants this to be a halachic issue. So Ravina thinks, I'm the owner of the land, I'm the only bar mitzvah. And therefore I can knock him off. And what they're telling him is that, no, you're the owner of the land, but there's another person invested in that karka, and that is sufficient in terms of the halacha of bar mitzvah to give him an equal right. And as long as the right is equal, then he's allowed to buy it. Ava bishen arunya begufa karka klum, he doesn't own anything in the land itself, mikol makom, homoshu ovdan, since he works it, harehu matzran, he's also a neighbor. Right? Kamocha, as the Bach puts in. The Amri Inchi Arba Utsa Nostin Dalad Zuz Alor, Kamoki and Sarabidim Sala Luman Amahabid Asor. You pay for the leather and you pay for the person who does the work as well. Not just the mushal is as good according to this approach, but again, what you've benefited is the entire Mabukas is now a halachic one. And you don't have to show Ein Marachem in Bedin. How is Rashi going to respond to Tosfos' kasha? Right? Ein Marachem in Bedin. Does he disagree with that concept? So, L'chora, Rashi was trying to protect himself from that kasha by saying, he was telling him, again, he wasn't telling him what the psach was. You should do what's right. Meaning, similar to what the Yad Ramah said. Right, what did the Yad Ramah say? I'm telling you this is what to do, but if you insist, then I'm going to have to paskin to throw him out. Because you're right, you are the Bar Mitzvah, Ravina. You are the Bar Mitzvah. But the Yad Ramah said, I am encouraging you, I'm telling you that there's another halachic principle at work here. If you tell me you're a dayan, you have to paskin, what's the ikar adin? What's the choshen mishpat halacha? I'm back against the wall. I'm going to have to say something. And then I'm going to have to paskin to remove runya from the field. But that's not what I'm saying. It's not an in maracham in bedin. It's not an in maracham in bedin. It's a level before that. I'm telling you that this is what I would do. This is what I would do. Like I said all the time, right? What would you do? What would you do? This is what I'm going to do. You don't want to do that? Then you have some flexibility. You have some flexibility, and you can do differently. Well, the Ritva points out, similar in this pshat, yeah, the Ritva points out, right? Perush Mashal Hadiyu Baharbe Perushim Nemru. The Ritva just tells it like it is. Right? You got, you know, 7, 8, 9, however many pshatim there are in this mashal. There were a lot. Perush Anachon Kibalti Mimori Haraah Kibalabayis Lokeach Oros Venosin La Abdon La Sachnul La Abdon Mechaga Cholken Venimtav and Shutimbo. That you become partners in it because we're all invested in the process. The Haina da Amrin, so people say, Arba nota Balabayas bor nikratzola, Arba nota Abda nikratzola, both in the Balabayas and the worker take. Oh, and this is just the extra point that he adds, which I think makes it a little bit easier to understand. Uba mashal bekam yishiv osan soto shalameit sedahi deravino hayari runya aris shalbate avos bahem. The cholakim of peros became a generic choshim gamkin binameit sekmo ravina. Oh. He just threw in two words there, but I think they make a big difference. Right? There's Arishel Bate Avos. This was like a family tradition that they were the sharecroppers in this field. Meaning, Ravina's Svara might have been, you're just a worker. And he might have been right. If it's just a worker you hired for the season, and what right did that worker have to the field in terms of being a bar mitzvah? But the point is that Runya and his Zayda and his Elta Zayda, they were all working for Ravina and his. They are well rooted in this field. It's only the peros of the field. It's only the peros of the field. It's not in the gufa karka, but that's enough. That's enough to give you those rights. And that's the chiddush. So Ravina, again, because in all these things, you want to make sure that we have to understand that Ravina is still Ravina, right? He wasn't just some stingy farmer, or business guy. So Ravina has to make sense also. So if you understand, again, it's probably the same shot. Again, Tosfos didn't spell out every detail. Is that now you understand what Ravina was saying? Ravina said it's not so simple. It's not so simple. Why should it be that you are considered to be a bar mitzvah just because you work for me? So Savar Ravina Sukhya, I can get you out of there. And then the Chiddush is that a worker that's been there for so long, he's a shutuf. He's basically like a partner. You're right, you're in the goof, he's in the papers, who doesn't matter? But once he's a partner, so then they each have rights to it. So again, each of the pshatim are positive or negative, you don't have strengths and weaknesses. But again, what you see, what the Rishonim are trying to do, is you have to see it from each perspective. You have to make sure that Ravina makes sense. But at the same time, so what shifted? What changed? And what at the end is the Gemara trying to say with this cryptic mushel that the Gemara gave? Okay, so we'll stop here.